You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, Matthew, the fourth chapter. I've got a message this morning I want to share with you. I won't keep you long, but I want to keep you long enough. Actually, I got plenty of time. I got on earlier today. Really, what I want to talk about today is that the gospel, everybody say gospel.
Okay.
The gospel is supernatural. I think sometimes we try to separate that, and you know, some churches believe in the supernatural gifts of the Spirit and tongues and healing, and which we do, gifts of the Spirit, miracles, signs, wonders, and all those. And then there's some churches that don't necessarily believe in that, and they preach the forgiveness of Jesus, the saving power of Jesus. Thank God Jesus is preached. I mean, we're not in competition. So those watching this, you know, on television, or those listen to it, you know, on CD or whatever the case may be, we're not against churches. We're not in competition with churches. We're pro-church.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. If Jesus preached, thank God Jesus preached. But we do believe that Jesus is more than just a forgiving Jesus. We believe He's a healing Jesus, a miracle-working Jesus, a delivering Jesus. We do believe also that the gifts of the Spirit, as mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses, they're still around today. In fact, the gifts of prophecy and gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all those gifts are still here. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, healings, all these things are still present today because we still need them today. The church hasn't gotten to a point to where we don't need the supernatural. We built the greatest hospitals in the world in our day and age. We have the greatest medical discoveries and greatest technology today, medically speaking, and yet people still die of diseases and problems in their bodies and so on and so forth. There's probably not a building built in the world that more people die in. This is not a negative statement. Stay with me. The hospitals that we build, there's more people die in hospitals than any other buildings built by man. Yet, many people get healed in hospitals, and we're for doctors, and we're for medicine, we're for surgery, and we're for all the technology that we've come up with. Are you with me?
Amen.
The idea that we are modern now and don't need the supernatural is just ridiculous. All you have to do is get up and, you know, go to Starbucks, get you a cup of coffee. Wake up. Wake up. People dying all the time. Are you with me? The idea we don't need a peace giver. Oh, come on, man. I mean, people are going to therapists like never before. I mean, in psychologists and psychiatrists, the suicide rate is very high in that field or that profession. So we haven't lost our need for a peace giver. Our peace comes from God.
Right.
And thank God for therapy. Thank God for people that can counsel and help us and advise. You understand, I'm not against any of these things. We're on the same side here. The idea that a church that believes in healing is against doctors is just ridiculous. That would just be the opposite of what we believe. We're for doctors. We're for medicine. We're for surgery because we believe in healing.
Right. Right. Yeah.
We'll go to the doctor with you. We'll sit there when you're having surgery. We'll pray over that doctor. We'll pray over that surgery. We'll pray over that medicine. We believe in healing.
Right.
If you choose not to go, we'll pray for a miracle, a healing. We'll meet you where you are. We'll just meet you where you are. I believe God loves you and He's for you. I believe He wants to supernaturally heal us all. I don't believe if we all believe like we should believe, we'd ever need to take a pill or go to a doctor at all. But let me tell you something. I'm going to go to a doctor. I'm not going to die to make a point. I like what Brother Osteen used to say. He said, since I got saved before the Holy Ghost and got a hold of the healing message of faith, you know, find out that Jesus is a healer, he said, I don't take aspirin anymore. He said, I take Excedrin. People ask him one time, you know, he went and had open heart surgery, you know, and they're saying, what are you doing going to have an open heart surgery? You believe in healing? You lay hands on the sick? You've had miracles in your church? And he said, well, he says, I got one philosophy or one doctrine. He said, I want to live. And he said, I didn't want to die. That's why I went and got open heart surgery. Whatever the reason you're not getting your miracle, don't die on us to make a point, okay? We know God heals. We know He does. We know it's His will to heal. Amen? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise God. If we pray for a bunch of people and some of them get healed and some of them don't, thank God for the ones that do get healed, the ones that don't, well, do what you can to get well. We're for getting well. That's not an indictment on God. God still hasn't changed. He's still the same. Maybe you missed it. Maybe we missed it. Maybe we all missed it. You know what? I have missed it. How about you? But God has never missed it. He's good all the time. Amen. So when we talk about the gospel, I mean, just going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, And we don't have time to go over all these accounts, but I want you to turn with me to a few of them. Let's look at this. The gospel is a supernatural gospel. It is. You can't just separate the supernatural from Jesus' ministry. You couldn't do it from Jesus' ministry. You can't do it from the early church. You can't rightfully do it with us as Christians, as believers, because we're always praying. You know that. Even if a church doesn't believe necessarily in what we call, quote unquote, a real miracle of healing that God's really doing that, we're always praying for each other all the time for God to intervene and do something. Whether it's peace or harmony or something. So we believe more in it than we think we do. Hello. We're smarter than we think we are. Mm-hmm. And we know healing's a good thing. We know we're supposed to get well. Even if we don't believe God wants us well, we pay all that good money to go down there to the hospital and get well. Amen? Jesus, it says here of Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 23, and I've gone over these verses before in talking about the ministry of Jesus. I want to go in a little different aspect today. The gospel is supernatural. Hallelujah. You know, people cry out for the supernatural. They hunger for the supernatural. They're searching all the wrong places. There's a rise of interest in the supernatural in the world today. I mean, people going off in supernatural movies, supernatural books, books about the supernatural, but it's always the wrong supernatural. The right supernatural is this. Amen. That hunger inside of you to say abracadabra and make something happen really is a recognition of the power of God that's in you when you pray and believe God. And we need to direct our supernatural hunger toward God, who is a supernatural being, the creator and the maker of all that is. Listen, all the magic and all the supernatural you need is really in these pages right here. It's not magic. It's just called healing. It's called miracles. It's called signs. It's called wonders. Hallelujah. Amen. And the magic book that you want to open up and recite some incantation and make something happen, here it's these promises, these words. This is where the real power is. This thing is vibrating with life. I get tickled in those movies. You know, somebody will, unbeknownst to not knowing the story, you know, in the show, they'll run into some room, this book open, they'll start reading it, and somebody knows they're not supposed to read it, they're supposed to say it out loud. As soon as they say it out loud, some spell will happen, something will happen, and they're running, trying to stop. Say, oh, no, don't say that. You know. Then it's too late. The guy didn't know anything. He's reading it off, and all of a sudden, power starts vibrating, starts coming. Well, let me tell you something. It's like the devil's trying to keep us from reading this and saying it out loud, because this is where the real power is. I can almost see him running. No, don't quote that verse. Oh, no, he's going to pray. Stop him. Because this is where the power is. All that's just counterfeit, see. This is where the real supernatural is. Amen? It's in you, it's in me, it's Christians, believers. It's in God. When we pray, things happen. Good things, not bad things. Don't put curses on people. We put blessings on them. Hallelujah. So it says here, Matthew. Y'all found Matthew 4? I'll give you plenty of time to get there. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That's what Jesus did. How many of you like to be like Jesus? Yes. I think every church ought to be a church where people who can get good teaching, good preaching, and get healed. A church ought to be a place where you can get prayed for, where we can believe with you, just as we did today for, you know, Vince. We're praying for Vince and believing for Vince. Well, that should be the normal. Supernatural should be natural to the church. Someone asks you how you're doing, you ought to say you're doing super naturally. We're supernatural. Amen? So Jesus did this. We want to follow in his footsteps. We're not preaching another gospel. We got the same Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago inside of us. It's the same Jesus we're preaching, the same one we're ministering, the same one we're presenting to the masses. We're standing up for him and exalting him and preaching him and representing him. Hallelujah. And he was a healer and a miracle worker. He taught, he preached, and he healed. Notice the ninth chapter, Matthew 9, verse 35. This is a repeat. This is almost the same. It is actually the same thing. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing, every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, that's the very same thing. Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35, and we can see three things that Jesus did very plainly. He taught, he preached, and he healed. Now, that would constitute what we call the full gospel. You know, Jesus is a supernatural Jesus. The gospel is a supernatural gospel. The word gospel just means good news. Everybody say good news. We get the word evangelist from it. It's a Greek word. Actually, the word gospel is a Latin word. The Greek word that it comes from is evangelion. And we get the word evangelist from it. An evangelist is a good news bringer. At a funeral, often someone will stand up and say something good about somebody. We call that a eulogy. Everybody say eulogy? Okay. That's where we get that word. Eulogy, evangelion, evangelist. So you say good things about some, hopefully. Amen? I think it's a sad note that you got to wait till you die before somebody says something good about you, but I think they ought to say something good about you, and hopefully they've been saying it all your life. I hope that your whole life consists of more than just a preacher standing over your funeral saying good things about you. There should be others that have said the same thing throughout your life. Amen? But nonetheless, gospel is good news. Hallelujah. I think we miss the impact of that. In fact, we get real familiar with a word, and it just takes on a meaning. We have all these images, you know. Gospel. Gospel. That's saying, accept Jesus and you can be saved. Well, that's part of it, yeah. You can miss hell and go to heaven. That's part of it, yes, absolutely. Some people think gospel is just telling people they're no good and worthless, never done a good thing in their life, that you hate your mama, you hate your papa, but God loves you, God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. If you'll accept Jesus, you can miss hell. You worm, you sinner, you vile, unworthy thing. Some people call that the gospel. Some people call that. But that's really not what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news. It's the good news that you don't have to go to hell. It's the good news that you can be saved. It's the good news that Jesus died for your sins. Do you believe in hell? Of course I do. I believe people go to hell. But that's not the good news. The good news is you don't have to go to hell. Hallelujah. You can go to heaven. And the good news is not sickness and disease. The good news is there is a healer. There is a miracle worker. In your time of trial and trouble, you can call on him and he will help you and he will heal you. If you're going through disharmony in your home, if you're having problems on your job, I got good news. Hallelujah. I know somebody you can call on. We read the bad news and hear the bad news all day long on the television, newspaper. I'm going to tell you what we need to get a hold of is the good news. Because all we hear is bad. All that makes the news is bad. All that makes news is car wrecks and financial crisis and so on and so forth. You don't hear good news. When's the last time you turned on TV or CNN or Fox or whatever and found out how many people got saved this week in church? You don't hear that because they don't report that. Hello? Okay. Where are we going to hear that? Welcome. You have found the place. You have come to church. We're the good news bringers. We're the ones that tell you how you can make it. We're the ones that tell you got a Savior, you got a healer, you got a life giver, you got somebody that loves you, somebody can take you out of your sin. We're the ones that tell you can be delivered from your sin. Hallelujah. Amen. We're the ones that tell you that you can be free and you can be blessed and you don't have to be cursed and you don't have to live in fear of the future. You don't have to live like you're in a trap or a box and there's nothing you can do. Praise God, break out of that box. You can pray. You can believe God. You can call on Jesus. Hallelujah. You got hope. You got healing. You got a cure. You got a healer. Life giver. Good news. Amen? That's what gospel means. So he went about and see, healing the sick, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Let me tell you something. That's good news. That's good news. He taught in our synagogues, he preached in our villages, and he healed all the sick that were therein. See, he brought them good news. That woman with the issue of blood, Mark the 5th chapter, she heard about Jesus. And she came in the press behind. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she came in and she touched his garment. The Bible says power of virtue came out of him, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples said, Jesus, Lord, the multitude throngs you, and you ask who touched you? And the woman feared and trembling, fell down before him, told him all that had taken place, everything that took place. And he said, "Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You know what happened to that woman? She heard the good news. This Jesus she heard about must have been a healing Jesus, or she would have never gone down there believing that she was going to get a healing. This Jesus she heard about must have been someone that would have accepted her and received her and heard her prayer, or she'd never waste her time to go down there. She didn't have a picture of it, a big ogre with a stick, or God is just the big, great policeman in the sky passing out tickets whenever you do something wrong. I think sometimes we get that picture of God. And of course, God is the moral governor of the universe. I understand that. He is the great judge, no question. And people will stand before his judgment, the great white throne judgment. You and I will miss all that if we accept Jesus. If we judge ourselves now, we won't be judged. All we'll stand before is the judgment seat of Christ to receive our rewards. Hallelujah. But that's another story altogether. But our picture of God should not be just someone who is judging us every time something goes wrong. He is our Father and loves us. He's a good God, and this is a good, the gospel is good news. Amen. Amen. And we ought to preach the good news. We ought to preach the good news glad. Wouldn't hurt telling somebody about Jesus. Smile every once in a while when you do it. Wouldn't hurt to act like you actually enjoy being a Christian. After all, we got the good news. Amen. Amen. Bad news may depress us, but good news will bring us joy. Hallelujah. And that's what you and I have. Now look at the 11th chapter, Matthew 11. Notice what the gospel is supernatural. It's supernatural. Matthew 11, this is the account where some of the disciples of John, you know, John was taken and put in prison and eventually subsequently beheaded after that. But while he was in prison, John the Baptist, first Baptist, John the Baptist sent out some of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one that was prophesied. Are you the one? You know, he baptized him at the River Jordan at Bethabara when Jesus first started his ministry. You know, you find that in all four Gospels. He was baptized there by John. And it says here that John in prison, I guess he had some doubts. I mean, he just, you know, he's in prison just sitting there thinking, what's going on? What's going on? Did I do the right thing? And he sent some of his disciples to find out if Jesus was this Christ. It's amazing what Jesus said to him in the fourth verse, 11th chapter, fourth verse. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Boy, I love that. I think that's so good. The poor have the good news preached to them. That's what gospel is, good news. And the good news is supernatural. It is. It's not supernatural, wicked, witches, all those. No, the good news is supernatural. God, Jesus, healing, miracle, signs, wonders, forgiveness, deliverance. Amen? Healing, protection. That's good news. But no doubt about it, it's supernatural. The good news is a supernatural thing. So the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. That's Jesus' credentials. That's what he said. Just look at me, hear what I'm saying, and look at what I'm doing. I think there ought to be things that we can point to. Not just the message we preach. Of course, there's nothing greater, nothing more solid, nothing more objective than the Bible. But also, since it is true, not if, but since it is true, there are also going to be accompanying signs and wonders. God always confirms his word with signs following. Amen. And so there should be miracles, there should be healings. Not just miracles of salvation, of course, deliverance from drugs and deliverance from jails and deliverance from hate and deliverance from wild lifestyles and so on. That's a testimony, no question about it. But you know, healing is a testimony. A miracle is a testimony. Well, I don't think we ought to be putting much, you know, credence to that. I think the church shouldn't emphasize that so much. Well, Jesus used it as his credentials. He actually told them, "Look and see what I have done." And he named off miracles, signs, wonders. Woo! Man, that's good, isn't it? That's what he pointed to. Because the gospel is supernatural. Amen? Turn with me to Luke. We're just perusing through the scriptures here. And by all means, get these things in context. I'm just taking out script, trying to give you the context as we get to it. Luke, the 9th chapter. Hallelujah. I want to help you this morning. I want you to know you're not in a box. I want you to know you're not in a trap. I want you to know whatever's going on in your life, you can pray. You can make a difference. You can make a change. God will hear you. He'll help you. He'll move on your behalf. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's mental, emotional. I don't know what the case may be. Maybe it's marital. Something to do with your family. I know a supernatural God. A God who defies all the statistics, who defies all the odds, who defies all the natural laws, who can move in and do a miracle in your life. If you'll call on Him, He said, call unto Me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. He said, everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh the door will be opened unto them. He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them, and you shall have them. And He said, all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I'm thinking of John 15:7. Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be granted to you. That's supernatural. I'm not trapped in the natural. I'm walking around down here, but I think I said this last week or Wednesday night, I may be walking around down here, but I am an amphibious creature. You know what? I wasn't calling you a tadpole. Stay with me. I sure wasn't calling you a frog. But I am a natural being in the sense of I have a body and I'm in this world, but I am a spiritual being. I can operate in two worlds as a Christian. I have the world of the Spirit where I can pray and believe and use the name of Jesus and call on God. I'm not limited to all this down here. In fact, when these limitations stop me, when I run out here, I got someone else to call on. I got another world I can tap into. Woo! Another one I can tap into. Jesus, praise God. Luke 9 chapter, found it? This, of course, is where Jesus sent out His disciples. The 9th chapter, first verse says, then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. I think that's fascinating to me. Well, why would Jesus do that and then now we don't do any of that anymore? I mean, that's not only what Jesus did, but it's what He told His disciples to do. It's almost like we have a totally different gospel now than we used to have. Now thank God Jesus preached. And so if you're of one of those churches, you have got to love me if you're watching this. Which camera I'm on. You're a Christian. You are in a mandate to love me. We've got to love each other. But we need to wake up. Come on. There's hope in heaven. There's help in heaven. There's God's active and alive. And Jesus is a healer and a miracle worker. Amen?
Amen.
And you can get out of that mess. No way, Jose. Yes, there is a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Well, He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God, second verse, and to heal the sick. In fact, if you just took the first two verses there, He only said preach one time. Along with preaching, He said He gave authority over and power over demons and to cure diseases and told them to heal the sick. Oh, and by the way, preach while you're there. Amen. Now, obviously, we want to preach. Obviously, that's the greatest miracle to be saved, be born again. But to say that's the only miracle would be just totally unscriptural. I mean, Jesus did more than just forgive people's sins. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He did not go around just forgiving people. That's part of what He did. But He also healed, He healed, there are lines of people that He healed. Multitudes that He healed. We don't even know about individually what took place. It says they multitudes came to Him, and He healed all that were sick. We have some individual counts, you know, that He did, and that's wonderful. And that's good for us because it gives us information, instruction on how we can get our healing. Thank God we have those conversations. We heard what that woman said. She said, if I could just touch him as garment, I shall be made whole. She came in faith. We heard what Jesus said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. Wow, now there's something to grab a hold of. If I believe and I start believing God for a healing, then I can get a healing too because He healed that woman. And if He healed that woman, He healed me. If I do what she did, I get what she got. Amen? That's why that's in there. That's why that account's in there several times, incidentally, not just that one time. So that's good, but there's multitudes of healing we don't even know about. I mean, Jesus did this. He would go into villages and He'd preach, and people would get saved. And there's some awesome stories of forgiveness and deliverance and restoration. But you cannot separate all the multitudes of healings and miracles that also took place. Are you with me? So that's why we always pray for the sick here. We always take prayer requests. We love praise reports, hearing about what God has done. Amen? All right. So it says here, in sending out his disciples, third verse, and he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. Do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter in, stay there, and from those depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from the feet as a testimony against them. In other words, I'm going to provide for you. You just go. Don't worry about money. Just go. I'll take care of you. And if somebody doesn't receive you, just go to another town. Don't just stay there and be a hammerhead. Hello. Follow the fire. Follow the cloud. Follow favor. Amen. I know people that go places and just live their whole life out and die and never do any good at all. Maybe they were called there, but for whatever reason, God didn't bless it. They rejected it or whatever the case may be, the people they were sent to. And you know, it's time to move on. Nothing's permanent except heaven. Are you with me? Now, it never was time for us to move on here because we just kept had a word from God to stay, and thank God we did. Hallelujah. Amen. We've gone through rough times. Just because you're going through rough times doesn't mean it's time to go. Are you with me? Sometimes God says, stay, plow through this thing. He may tell you to leave, but if you leave, it's got to be because he said so. Amen? Amen? So it says here, the sixth verse, so they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Isn't that interesting? It says they preach the gospel, obviously preach the good news. I mean, I'd love to have heard some of those sermons. They go into town, I got good news. The Messiah has come. The Savior we've been looking for. Forgiveness is available for you, for you, for you. You can come out of your sin. You can go to heaven. You can miss hell. You can have your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you'll come to Jesus. Any sick here? He's a healer. We want to pray for you to be healed. Anybody having problems? You need a miracle? He's a miracle worker. That was part of what they preached. And the testimony is plain over and over of miracles that did take place and healings that did take place because they talked about it. They preached it. They laid hands on the sick. They prayed for people to be healed and delivered and saved and set free and forgiven. And it was just part of what they did. Are you with me? Okay, so 6th verse says, so they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel or good news and healing everywhere. Look at the 10th chapter. 10th chapter is when they sent 70 others out. I always thought this was fascinating. You know, there was a doctrine, I don't know if it's still valid today, but it used to be pretty valid in some seminaries and God bless. Some great institutions. There's some great seminaries, great colleges. But it's amazing how that sometimes we're too smart to get this. And we're so smart that we know more really than what God says here. You know, he says something real plain here, and then we try to over-spiritualize it. I mean, he heals a blind man, and we'll say, well, that just shows that he was the light of the world, and it just means that he wants to open up our hearts and because we're in spiritual darkness. And well, you know, he did talk about that, open our eyes and so on and so forth, but actually healed the blind man because he was blind. And he wanted him healed. And eyes were made to see with. And it never was God's will for eyes to be blind. Eyes were made to see with. And legs were made to walk with. When you look at the miracles that were done in the Bible, they're just restoration. The thing, in other words, he didn't make cripples fly. He made cripples walk. He didn't turn pumpkins into coaches and rats into coachmen. Those are fables, fairy tales. The Bible miracles had a purpose. He made much bread out of a little bread, much fish out of little fish. Y'all see that? And I always thought it was kind of strange. It could be that the temptation to bring bread out of a rock, make bread out of rocks, wasn't God's pattern. It didn't have the mark of God on it, and that's why Jesus said no. Are you with me? One of the reasons. I mean, obviously there's other reasons, deeper meanings than that. But see, you don't make bread out of rocks. You can get water out of rock because that's where water comes from, the ground. And he did bring water out of a rock. But bread comes from bread and fish comes from fish. So you got to have a couple of fish to make a bunch of fish and a little bread to make a bunch of bread. And you got to have water to make wine. And when you touch a man's blind eye and heal him, he sees. And you know what? This is what's amazing. This is where we miss the miracle working God, the miracle working power of God. We miss what God's doing all the time. Is the fact that you can see out of your eyes right now every day is a miracle. The fact you walk on these legs, woohoo! That's a miracle. Birth is a miracle. Life is a miracle. Walking is a miracle. Seeing is a miracle. Hearing is a miracle. Are you with me? And so when God touches an eye and makes it sees like all the rest of our eyes. That's what eyes are made to do. The miracles of Jesus have the mark of the Creator on them. When He touched an eye, He made it work like all eyes are supposed to work and made legs work like all legs are supposed to work and ears work just like all ears are supposed to work. All these miracles and healings that were taking place were just putting things back in order. A miracle is not some foreign, alien intruder messing up God's divine order. You know what the foreign, alien, and I get all this out. You know what's weird? You know what's out of place? Crippled legs is out of place. God bless people that are in wheelchairs. Don't take what I'm saying wrong. I'm just saying they know better than I do that they wish those legs would work. Okay, so we're not, good Lord, we're not classifying we're better than they. Oh, come on, man. There's no A rate, B rate in God. We're all the same. God loves us all the same. But crippled legs should be healed legs. I'm going to tell you what. Someone's in a wheelchair, goes to heaven. They're not going to be in a wheelchair. You can forget that. That's not going to happen. There has been something out of place took place. There has been something alien taking place. There has been something foreign that's come into the divine plan. You know what it is? It's disease. Sickness. Poverty. Fear. All those kinds of things. That's what Jesus came to do away with. That's what Jesus corrected. That's what sin. He came and forgave it and got rid of it. Took care of it. Are you with me? Sickness, He healed it. Blind eyes, He opened them. Deaf ears, He opened those ears. Crippled legs, He healed those legs. And He told the disciples, now you go do this now. You do the same thing because I'm sending you boys out to preach the gospel. But you go out there and tell them I made them sick. I better not ever hear you making anybody sick. I want to hear about you healing some people. I can think of some occasions where the disciples tried to stop people from getting a healing. Jesus got all over their case about it. Remember blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road? Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciple says, be quiet, he's busy. We're with Jesus. We ain't got time to mess with you. Think about it. God's own disciple, Jesus' disciples, trying to keep a guy from getting a miracle from Jesus. Sad but true. A lot of churches are that way too. A lot of preachers, when you're trying to get a miracle, they're trying to stop you and say, don't you bother Jesus with that. And all that time, Jesus is saying, come on, let him get it. Get him over here. And you know the story, got healed. Why? Because that's what it is. The gospel is supernatural. It's a supernatural gospel. Amen? 10th chapter, y'all found it? That's where he sent the 70 out. And this is fascinating. I was sitting over here. And there's this idea that only the 12 apostles had the healing power of God, the miracles of God, and so on and so forth. And then when the last apostle died, the miracles and signs and wonders passed away. Because there was just a day of miracles. There wasn't a God of miracles. There was just a day of miracles. Well, I'm here to tell you there's a God of miracles. There's not a day of miracles. And He does not change. He's the Lord God. He changes not. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I submit to you from the Bible that whatever Jesus did, He's still doing today. He's never stopped doing what He's always done. We stopped believing. I understand that. We've gotten the cares of the world mixed in with all this, and we're distracted, and we're not focused, and not in faith. But I'll tell you, God has not changed. He's still a good God. He's still a miracle-working God. And the gospel, the good news, is still supernatural. And if you just knew this right here, this would kind of throw that doctrine out anyway, that only the 12 had that power. Because it says in the 10th chapter, first verse, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. 70 others also. That really doesn't need an interpretation. If he already had 12 and he appointed 70 others also, then I mean, I went to school in Center Texas, but I think that's like 82 people, right? 83 count Jesus. I mean, if my math's wrong, let me know. But I think that's 70 plus 12, 82 plus Jesus, 83. Sound like there's a lot of people doing this. And actually commissioned by Jesus to do it. That's an interesting word because God did commission us to do it. It is the great commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel. The good news to every creature. Some people say, well, you know, sickness and disease sure happens. God sure permitted it, didn't he? Yeah, but you know, I permit a lot of things I don't commission. The great commission is not, it's interesting, there's no great permission. There's a great commission. And the great commission is to preach the gospel and heal the sick. See, what God commits and what God permits are two different things. God will permit you to sin, but he doesn't commit you to it. And he doesn't commission you to do it. You say, well, God permits all the evil in the world. Yes, but he does, but he does not commit all the evil in the world. He does not commission all the evil in the world. He permits all the evil in the world because of free will, because of sin, because of this fallen world we live in, because of the sin of Adam, because you can choose to do wrong or do right. And he'll permit you to do wrong, but he does not commission you to do so. What is his commission? What does he commit? Well, we know what he commits. Are you with me? Well, God sure permitted. Well, that didn't mean a thing. God permitted. You permitted it too. Does that mean you're the author of it? Well, he didn't stop it. Well, neither did you. Does that mean you're the author of everything that goes wrong in the world? Just because God doesn't stop something doesn't mean he's for it or commits it or commissions it. There's a lot of things he doesn't stop because you have free will. You have a choice to do what you want to. But that doesn't mean he's for it. That's deeper than y'all are amening. Or maybe it's so deep you're drowning. Maybe you're lost consciousness. But anyway. So it says here he sent 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said, the harvest truly is great. The labors are few. Sound like today, really. Therefore pray that the Lord of his harvest, the Lord of the harvest, will send out labors into his harvest. You know, that's a great prayer. I pray that often because, you know, you're only in one body. You can't be everywhere at one time. We have people call a prayer request, and we can't necessarily go. Maybe it's another country, another state, whatever. And maybe you have a relative somewhere. Maybe you're not even able to minister to them. You know what you can do? You can pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth labors into his harvest. God send someone across their path. God open up somebody's heart. Draw someone to minister to them, whether it's a neighbor or a friend or someone they work with or a hospital that they're in. Are you with me? That's a good prayer. And you're being scriptural when you do it too because Jesus told us to pray. He told us to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. Sometimes you're able to go. Sometimes you're not. It's just physically impossible for you to be everywhere at one time. Pray. Pray that God will minister to people and send people across their path. Amen? Amen. Well, anyway, he sent them out in the tenth chapter. And he tells them several things, and it goes on down to 8th verse. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. I've stood on that one in India, in the jungles of Guatemala. Anyway, that's another story altogether. And he says, and heal the sick. Wow. Y'all see that? And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Not just the 12. This is the 70 others also. Now we've got 82 plus Jesus out doing what? Preaching the good news and healing the sick. Acts 10:38. Stay with me. Give me about 5 more minutes and I'll let you out of here. We might get out before 12, beat the Baptists to Brookshire's. Acts 10th chapter. This helping you? I hope you're taking notes, or taking note, at least, to what's being said here. Because this is not you know, often people think, well, you know, this International Outreach Church has their doctrine, First Baptist has their doctrine, United Methodist has their doctrine, First Assembly has their doctrine, Calvary Baptist. No, you know, hey, we're all Christians here, and the doctrine is the Bible. Amen. Thank God, First Baptist, United Methodist, and all these great churches in our town. We've got some great churches, great ministers, great people. We love them. We're for them. But honestly, and I'll tell you, if they love God, they're going to tell you the same thing. Before we're Baptists, we're a Christian. Amen. Before we're a member of International Outreach Church, we are Christians. Amen. And our doctrine is the Bible. As we understand it, we should be able to back up from the Word what it is that we believe. Often we'll say, well, what do you believe at that church? Well, what are the scriptures you're standing on? It should be, what are the verses? What does God say? What's the context of the scripture? Because I may be full gospel, Pentecostal, charismatic, word of faith. You know, there's so many labels you could throw our way. But the bottom line is, we believe the Bible. Are you with me? And we tend to put people in boxes. You need to stop all that and just say, okay, let's just look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. And then you walk out of here not believing a doctrine or a movement of man, but you walk out of here believing the Scripture. And let them call you whatever they want to call you. Just make sure you're standing on the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? Okay. And in Acts 10, this is what it says about Jesus. These are familiar verses. Most of you should know these or have heard these. Acts 10:38, Peter's preaching to some Gentiles. Italian, Roman people. They weren't Jews. And that was a supernatural event that took place. And he's preaching to them, talking to them about Jesus. And he says concerning Jesus in the 38th verse, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Wow. In other words, that's how he summed up Jesus' life. And what he saw here was the anointing of God on him, the power of God on him, and then the healings that took place. And he kind of wrapped it all up. He said he went about doing good. Good. Good news. Amen. Healing's good news. Miracles are good news. Supernatural deliverance is good news. Hallelujah. I got good news for you. There's hope. Maybe you've got a drug addiction. You can be delivered. Maybe you're sick, you can be healed. Amen. Are you with me? Maybe you're lost, you can be saved. Maybe you're bound by sin. Well, I'm here to tell you, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He can set you free. But this gospel is a supernatural gospel. Mark 16 chapter, this is it, my final closing. Mark 16. I just want to encourage you with this and stir you with this. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Supernatural gospel. You can't separate this. You know, I mentioned in the class this morning, just in passing, we were teaching on Philippians, but if you admit God, how many of you believe in God? Okay? Amen. All right, if you admit God, you already admit the supernatural. You can't separate the two. You've already stepped into that room. You've crossed that threshold. If you say there is a God, anything is possible. Because you already admitted a supernatural God that created the world and made everything that is. So you've already stepped over the line of the supernatural. You've already stepped over the line of miracles, possibility anyway. All we have to do now is go into the Bible and see if He really wants to do that, if it's His will to do that. And you'll find that it is not only His ability, He's not only able, but He's also willing. And not just kind of, you know, uninterested manner, willing, doesn't really matter to Him one way or the other. He desires it. He desires to heal. He desires to help you. This will help you in your prayers. If you see, Jesus was very adamant. He went out and healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, healed the sick, you know, and lepers and deaf, and told the disciples, I want you to do the same thing. Told the 70, I want you to do the same thing. See, he's passionate about you getting well. He's passionate about you being all you can be. He's passionate about you getting out of that sin, walking holy, and being a light, and being a witness. He's very passionate about that. So this will help you when you pray, because you don't have to con God into doing this. Amen? I mean, how many times, Tommy, you think about it? You know, we'll pray, and, oh, man, I know I didn't do this right and didn't do that. Or, God, I repent all that. And that's good. You should repent, you know. I'm talking about Tommy now. And no, I'm just using Tommy's example. And we're praying, you know, we're saying, God, now, you know, how many of you ever done this now? God, if you'll get me through this, Lord, I'll serve you. And we make this deal with God, you know, like, I don't know. No. Well, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Okay, that's enough. I'll make a deal. You got a deal. Like, God's making deals with us, you know. We got to convince Him to help us. And He wants to help us more than we want to be helped. He wants to heal us more than we want to be healed. See, we're just not believing, and we don't have the right picture of God, and we don't understand what this thing's all about. He is our last hope. Come on now. He is the end of all desire. He's everything that we ever wanted all of our life. He is it. And He loves us more than we love ourselves. So He's just waiting for you to call, waiting for you to come, waiting for you to believe. You don't have to make a deal. You already made a deal. You accepted Jesus. We call that covenant, you know, in Christianity. I think sometimes we use so many Christian terms that an unbeliever comes in or a new Christian comes in, I don't know what we're talking about, you know. We've got redemption, we've got a covenant, we've got atonement. And I understand all that, and I use those terms. But what that means is we got a deal. We got a deal. You know, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have a deal. But if you got Jesus, you got a deal with God. You got a covenant, contract. Okay, all right. Okay, let me close this out. Man, this is hard to stop this stuff. Mark 16 chapter. Notice what it says here in the 15th verse. Part of the Great Commission. And He said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The good news. Everybody say good news. You can be saved. You can be healed. You can go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live in sin. The good news is not you're just a sinner, you're lost. They know that already. You don't have to tell them that. I mean, if you want to tell them, that's fine, but you need to give them some hope. What are we going to do about it? The good news is not you're in a prison, you're locked up, you're trapped, you're addicted. My goodness, they know that. What's the good news? The good news is the gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? The good news is you can come out of that. You can be delivered. You can be healed. You can be set free. You can walk holy. You can be saved. You can go to heaven. All you got to do is call on Jesus. Jesus came to save you from your sin. Save you from disease. Save you from this world. Save you from hell. Hallelujah. Brother Osteen used to say, hell is hot, heaven's high, and life is short. We got to get on with the business of the gospel. He's the first one I heard say that years ago. You say it all the time. We got to preach the good news, and we got to preach the good news glad. He gets so tickled that people get on the TV. He says, I see them preaching up there and they're mad and they're hollering and they're frowning and they're red and veins are popping out on their neck. They look like they're about to bite your head off and telling you Jesus loves you. I'm thinking, who's going to want to get saved listening to that? Hello. Go into all the world, preach the good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned or damned. You know why people go to hell? Not because all they're doing. They're going to hell because they don't believe. If they'll believe, they'll go to heaven. So we preach Jesus so they can believe in Jesus. And He goes on and says this. Man. These signs shall follow those who believe. Now we're going from 12, we're going to 70, plus 70, 82, plus Jesus, 83, to everybody else that believes. That's you, that's me, that's everybody that's ever been born again for the last 2,000 years. It says, and these signs shall follow them who believe. He's still talking about being saved. He's still talking about the good news. And here He comes in with that supernatural stuff again. Now it's not just the disciples, not just the 70. Now He's talking about the church. He's talking about everyone who accepts Jesus. How many of you accepted Jesus? All right. Man. Well, this is, wow. I don't know if you're ready for this. I wonder if I'll just close this out and just say, we'll just pick this up Wednesday. You really want to hear it? Okay. These signs shall follow them who believe. Right? Say, that's me? Okay, I'm a believer. I believe. How about you? Okay, so this must be for us then. In fact, He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They that believe. Them, third person that believe. Tommy, if you were the Apostle Peter, and I was Jesus, I like it that way. I like it. Just as a picture, okay? And I was talking to you, and I said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Those that believe what you preach, these signs will follow them that believe what you preach. He wasn't saying these signs will follow the apostles. They already did that. They already knew that. He was telling them that these signs will follow those that believe what they preach. Isn't that what it says? These signs shall follow them. Them who? them that Peter's preaching to, them that believe. So he's not saying here, and often people will quote this and say, well, yeah, he's talking to the apostles. Yes, he was talking to the apostles. He was telling them that these signs will follow everyone that believes what they preach. Another question, do you believe what they preached? I believe what they preached. How about you? Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall. Woo-hoo. Cast out devils. Well, that's not the way it works on the movies. I thought the priest always got beat up by the devil. Oh, you know what? We probably shouldn't be getting our theology from the movies. We probably ought to get it from the Bible. Amen? Okay. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And that doesn't mean you'll quit cussing. You should quit cussing. But speaking of new tongues is talking about the gifts of tongue. The gift, the gifts of the Spirit. That's another subject. We'll have to get into that later. But it says, well, I've heard people say that. Oh, I got a new tongue. Got saved. Got a new tongue. I don't cuss anymore. You know what? Well, good for you. That's good. You don't need to be cussing, but not what he's talking about. But anyway, they'll take up serpents, and that's not taking up snakes per se. That's talking about the power of the enemy. That old serpent, the devil, Revelation 12 chapter, Luke 10, 19, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You don't have any record of people picking snakes up in the Bible. Paul stuck his hand in a pile of sticks on the Isle of Malta and a snake, you know, latched on to him. He didn't jump around and say, hey, y'all, I'm taking a snake up. Look here, I got a snake. Says he shook it off like anybody with half a brain would do anyway. You know. So he wasn't talking about that. He's talking about the parallel. And then he says, they shall, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. He didn't say they shall. That's interesting, too, because poison was a definite problem back then. It can be a problem even today. That's a promise that if you were to drink poison, not they shall, they shall, they shall, but if they drink any deadly thing. See the transition in the language there. So that's a promise for those that were poisoned. Praise God to be healed. They drink any deadly thing, they shall, it shall by no means hurt them. Then he goes back to they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can do something else with these hands than to grab a hamburger. You can lay these hands on the sick and they'll recover. What do you mean? You're a Christian, you're a believer. This is the gospel. It's the good news. Gospel supernatural. Amen. This is a supernatural gospel. And how do you do it? In my name. In these signs shall follow them who believe in my name. The name of Jesus. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then he closes this out, and so will I. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down on the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. God confirms the word with signs following. So healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, you know what? God's still confirming the word today. There are still signs that follow the word. Your life is a sign. It's a witness to the power of the word. Your healing, your miracle, your deliverance is a witness, a confirmation that God has confirmed his word with signs following. Jesus didn't preach without signs, wonders, healings, miracles. The disciples didn't preach without signs, wonders, healings, miracles. The 70 didn't preach without it. The church wasn't supposed to preach without it. And we're not going to preach without it either. Amen? I believe they needed it. We needed it. We need it. Excuse me. Get my tenses right. This is a supernatural gospel. Amen?